And this anger has been brewing ever since the George Floyd death and all these other things that have been going on, the pandemic, the school lockdowns. I found it amazing. I was talking to a missionary just this week, and he told me that he is from the state of Wyoming. He's just here visiting right now. And he said that in Wyoming, South Dakota, and all these other Northwest states, they only shut down their schools for 1 month. And after 1 month, they said, we're not doing this. We don't care what the government says. Our kids are going to fall behind. We're going back to school. And they went back to school. And the anger you hear from parents and teachers of how far our kids are behind because we shut down schools. Do we wear a mask? Do we not wear a mask? If you go to a Broadway play and your mask is here, you might get chewed out. Did you see that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, just Google it. This woman ripped words you couldn't say to the devil himself about this lady whose mask had just fallen below here. But all the people on the stage who were talking didn't have their mask on. And so there's this anger about if you're in the elite, you get the exception. But if you're minions like us, we have to cave in to whatever you want. And so anger is brewing in this country. When you get on a plane, are you now worried that somebody may go nuts? I mean, over a mask? It's crazy. Raymond Navaca, who's a psychologist professor at the University of California, at Irvine, said this: we're living, in effect, in an anger incubator. Anger is just brewing in this incubator in Americans today. He says we're having to deal with all these disasters piled on top of each other. The pandemic, the economic fallout, and civil unrest. He says certainly one way of responding, and the common way people are responding today, is with anger. And when I look at this, anger is out of control in our culture today. We see people vandalizing public and private property, okay? We see this. And so what I want us to hear today is that managing our anger is a godly value. And we all need to learn how to do this. I never thought in my lifetime I would see so many people who call themselves Christians out of control with their own anger. Anger is in all of us. We all get ticked off about something. But self-control is something you don't hear much about today. So you can either blow up or clam up. If you've noticed, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Most people are either one or two. They're either skunked or they're turtles. Skunks, you know when the skunk is ticked off. They stink up everything. Turtles typically go in their shell. And here's what I've noticed in marriages. Skunks marry turtles. Which are you? One of you, it isn't any question what you feel in the house. And the other one's going, now honey, now honey, now honey, now honey, don't you honey me. You know what I'm talking about? You do. Don't lie. You're in church. Skunks marry turtles. And so you either can clam up or you can blow up. Okay? And how we deal with this is important. Both blowing up and clamming up are both wrong. I'll say it again. Blowing up and clamming up are both wrong. So it's important that we as God's people learn some self-control when it comes to our anger. I mean, look at it. Violence is on the rise. Crime is on the rise. Profanity is on the rise. In fact, 54.3% of all murders occur between family members. Every day in America, 1,907 children are arrested for violent crimes. Every single day in this country. In America, for every 100,000 people murdered, 4 are children. Every single day in this country. Fergus Glenn is a 36-year-old man who lives in New Zealand. And when his brother did not thank him for making the evening meal, he killed his brother with an axe. Curtis Reeves is a 71-year-old retired police officer. Behind him was a man who was sending texts in the movie theater. He kept telling him to stop doing it because he'd hear ding, ding. And when he didn't, he turned around and shot him and killed him right there in the movie theater, a retired police officer. Franklin Paul Crows, a 59-year-old man from Florida. He got tired that his roommate wasn't doing what he asked. So he bludgeoned his roommate with a sledgehammer And the argument was over which way the toilet paper should flip. Now, we laugh, but anger is going nuts in this country. The Bible says this in Proverbs 25, 28. The person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. And this is happening all around our culture, all around our country. It's happening in our homes. It's happening in our neighborhoods. And I have to ask myself, where's all this coming from? Where's all this anger and angst coming from in our country today? Part of it is that we live very hectic, stressful lives. We are always running behind. We're always trying to catch up to the next thing. And we get on College Road and somebody's doing 30 and a 45, and you're just sitting there going, praise the Lord, aren't you? I mean, we're stressed out people today. We're always running behind. We're burning the candle at both ends, and as a result of that, we're not as bright as we think we are. So we have all this stress weighing on us. Family, marriage, kids, work, retirement, high-rising prices in everything we go. You can't go anywhere today where the prices aren't going up. You could go to the restaurant today, and tomorrow the prices will be up. Everything's going up, and it's creating anger in our culture. And even on top of that, our media saturates us with this violent behavior. So we don't know how to use self-control. We even have a word today. We'll say, well, did you hear about, No, what happened? He went postal. Because the postal workers who took the law in their own hands and began shooting other postal workers. We even have a phrase for that today. Now, anger is not a sin. It's not a sin. It's how we use it. And if you learn how to express your anger in a godly way, God will bless you for it. And if you use your anger in the correct way, others will be blessed by it. But it's okay to get mad. You remember a few months ago I shared with you when that 46-year-old man was stalking our daughter, Emmy? You remember that? How many of you remember that? I was enraged. And my wife was so concerned I would take the law into my hands to protect our daughter, she kept begging me, honey, don't go to his house. Honey, don't drive by there. Honey, don't do this. Because I was going to let that man know one thing. You come near my daughter again, it'll be the last time you ever do. And when it comes to our children, we will do anything to protect them, right? And sometimes, unfortunately, we may take the law in our own hands. I'm not justifying what I was feeling. I'm just telling you what I was feeling. So there's nothing wrong in getting angry. It's just what you do with it. So we're going to go to the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs is filled with some great biblical truth on how to deal with anger. So let's look at it. I'm going to give you 7 principles you can apply to your life beginning today on just simply how to deal with anger. Number one, resolve to covenant with God to learn how to control your anger. You make a promise to God. God, I promise you I'm going to learn how to control my anger. I don't say promise your spouse or promise your kids. Promise to God. When people say, I can't control my temper, that's just the way I'm wired. No, you're lying. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me the strength. So stop making excuses and start accepting responsibility for your anger. Proverbs says this, a fool vents all of his anger, but a wise man brings himself under control. I want you to circle the word brings. The wise man brings himself under control. It's an act of the will. It's something you choose to do. In other words, here's what your next fill in. Anger is a choice, just like all other emotions. When you worry, that's a choice. When you get discouraged, that's a choice. When you're happy, that's a choice. When you're angry, that's a choice. We don't like to admit it. Most of us don't want to take responsibility for our anger, but we have a choice with it. You ever been in an argument with your spouse or an argument with your children? I mean, it's intense. It's hot. It's just going. I mean, you're yelling. She's yelling. You're going back and forth. The kids are. And all of a sudden, the phone rings. You go over there and go, hello? Why didn't you go, hello? You don't know why? It's a choice. You chose in that moment. Anger is inappropriate. Anger is a choice. And we've all done this. Some of you, sometimes riding to church, you're going at it like cats and dogs. You get out of your car, the greeter goes, how are you doing? We're doing just fine. It's a choice. It's a choice. And God says, listen, I want you to learn how to choose wisely. So the first way is you make a covenant with God. You're going to learn how to do it. And that means you've got to take, you need to read some books. I'm in your notes. I've given you three books that we'll get to in a moment that will help you deal with your anger. It means you learn some ways to be prepared ahead of time. You do some planning. You do some strategizing. How am I going to respond when this happens? So you do it in advance. So the first way is you covenant with God to learn. Here's the second way. You realize and count the cost. Anger has a price. There is a price tag to uncontrolled anger. And the Bible is very specific about the cost of uncontrolled anger. So count the cost. Proverbs 29:22 says, a hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble. That's a great verse we all need to remember. You get into trouble when you're hot-tempered. How many of you would say hot tempers cause arguments? How many of you would say, hey, when I'm in an argument, the more intense it gets, the worse it can get? Oh, yeah. I mean, uncontrolled anger just creates more anger. I mean, when you're having that argument with your spouse, I mean, you're really ripping into them. Or they're sitting there going, I'm so grateful to God for this spouse. I love that reaction. No, that your spouse isn't thinking that. They're sitting there going, I don't know what I was thinking in marrying this person. Uncontrolled anger just creates more anger. That's all it does. There's a price. There's a cost. Think of it this way. You're never going to get to the top if you keep blowing yours. I put in your devotional guide this. It's only when the whale comes to the top to blow that he gets harpooned. That's in your devotional guide. So you're never going to get to the top if you're always blowing yours. Proverbs 11:29 says this, the fool who provokes his family to anger in resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. You know what that verse is saying? If you're an angry person, you're constantly angry, you're always mad, even your own family will back away from you. You'll even lose them. You can ruin your reputation. You can lose your children. You can lose your spouse. You can lose your job. I've known people to lose their job because they went nuts in their job. And when you have anger that's uncontrolled, the Bible says, you are always and you will always lose. There is a price tag. There is a cost to uncontrolled anger. It's not worth it. The Bible says you can lose even your own family because of it. And as parents, we're often tempted to use anger to motivate our children, don't we? Now, that works in the short term. We can a lot of times get the behavior we want when we have uncontrolled anger, but not always. But God says there's a way to express that anger even as parents. If you're constantly out of control with your anger with your kids, you may get the immediate response, but you will develop resentment from your kids long term. There is a cost to uncontrolled anger. In fact, the end result of anger is this, alienation. You alienate the people who love you the most. The more angry you are, the more uncontrolled anger you express, it finally just creates in the people who love you the most apathy. They just, I don't care. I'm just sick of this. I don't care anymore. And I give up and they walk away emotionally. So uncontrolled anger can lead to apathy, which leads to alienation. Number three. Here's number one. You see here on the screen, resolve to covenant with God to learn how. Number four, realize and count the cost. Number three, restrain and muzzle your mouth. Oh, you're laughing on that one. You love that one, don't you? This means we all need to think before we speak. Anger control is always a mouth control. Anger control is always a mouth control. I love how the Bible puts it in Proverbs 21:23. Keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. That's your memory verse this week. Just keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble. Have you ever noticed that you cannot put your foot in your mouth if it's already closed? Proverbs 17:28 says, even fools are thought wise and intelligent if they stay quiet and keep their mouth shut. People will consider you wise if you just keep your mouth shut. God says anger is largely a matter of mouth control. That's why we must muzzle our mouth. And if you don't, you will say the wrong thing, and you'll regret it later. Think about this. You will have about 30 conversations a day. You'll spend one-fifth of your life talking. In 1 year, you'll speak enough words to fill 53 1,000-page books. The average man speaks about 20,000 words a day. The average woman speaks about 30,000 words a day. You're already laughing. Why? Why? You're both working. You come home. The guy is tired. He just wants to watch ESPN. And his wife's over there going, you know what I'm talking about? He just wants to unwind. But you're going, he's like, Lord, help her get quiet. She's got 10,000 more words she hadn't used yet. She wants to use them on you. One guy said, do you resent it when your wife has the last word? He said, no, I'm just glad when she gets to it. This is a little ode that I found in a British newspaper called The Punch. It was printed on April 10th, 1875. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Oh, if men were all like that wise old bird. Wouldn't it be true if we were all like that? So we all need to learn to muzzle our mouth. Everything that pops in your head doesn't need to come out of your mouth. In fact, look what James says in the book of James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, if you do the first two, you're okay. If you are quick to listen and slow to speak, you're going to be okay. But if you're the opposite, you're going to have trouble. Here, I'm going to just be confessional this morning. Always leave about 6 o'clock in the morning, just get out of the house so I can think and pray and meditate and go over this. And when I got home, Audrey had left me some to-do things to do. Before you leave, turn on the dishwasher. Before you leave, if you can, take the towels that were in the washer and put them in the dryer so I can get them dried. Okay? Don't forget to let the dog out before you go. Some nice things, okay? Well, I thought I'd done all those things. So when I came in, for some reason, whatever I did with the dishwasher, it didn't wash the dishes. And so I walk in the door and she said, you didn't start the dishwasher. And I lost it. And I heard God said, now, Mr. Stanley, what are you preaching on this morning? We all do it. You know what I mean? We all do it. And I'm just confessional. I'm letting you know I'm no better than you. I blow it at times. And I blew it with her, and I had to come back and apologize. All right? If all of us were quick to listen and slow to speak, we would eliminate a lot of problems in our lives. How do we do it? Muzzle our mouth. Now, the Bible says no one can take control of their mouth on their own. You can do it temporarily, but you can't do it permanently. The only way you can take control of your mouth is have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 16:32 says this, he who is slow to anger is better and more honorable than the mighty soldier. And he who rules and controls his own spirit is mightier than he who captures a city. See, one of the myths about anger I've heard for years when I was growing up is that everybody has this reservoir of anger. And as this reservoir fills up and fills up and fills up, eventually gets to the brim, and then we got to dump it. We got to unload it. We got to get rid of it. But that's not true. People think, well, you know, I've got this bucket of anger, and when it gets filled to the brim, all I need is just to let it go. I need to spew it all out on everybody, and then my bucket will be empty, and I'll be fine. You don't have a bucket of anger. You have a factory. And study after study shows that releasing uncontrolled anger only creates more anger. Being aggressive only creates more aggression. I tell you all the time, you are never persuasive when you are abrasive. Uncontrolled anger just creates more uncontrolled anger. It doesn't relieve, it doesn't reduce, it multiplies anger. So we all need to learn to muzzle our mouth. Here's the next point. So we resolve to covenant with God, we realize and count the cost, we restrain and muzzle our mouth, and number four, we reflect on a biblical response before reacting. Remember I talked about when you covenant, That takes preparation. So you need to get some scripture verses. You need to be memorizing. I've given you a bunch here from the book of Proverbs on anger. You start memorizing some verses in your mind about anger so that when you find yourself in that situation, you already have a biblical response to it. When we respond impulsively, we're always going to get ourselves in trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. I love that. Don't you circle the word waits? A wise man waits and lets his anger grow cool. Did you know that cool it is a biblical principle? It was biblical before there was the baby boomer saying cool it. God says, just cool down, walk away, and cool down. Here's why. A temporary delay is a tremendous biblical remedy for anger. A temporary delay, not a permanent, but a temporary delay. It doesn't mean you put it off forever, expressing your anger or your frustration. It doesn't mean you don't deal with this issue you have with your spouse or your children, but sometimes you just need to walk away and cool down. Now, there's the opposite. If you permanently delay this, it creates other issues. Anger delayed indefinitely becomes bitterness. If you never share your anger, you will become bitter. And bitterness is always a sin, but anger isn't. And so sometimes you just need to say, I need to walk away for a minute. Let me cool down. I want to talk about this later. If you just respond impulsively, you're going to create more problems, usually. The longer you hold your temper, the better it can get. You give yourself time to think. Remember the verse, a wise man waits and lets it what? Grow cool. That's what a wise person does. So in your notes, I've given you this little acrostic on the word think that can help you know how to do this. Five things that will help you do this that you ask yourself. The T stands for, is it truthful? Before you say it, is it the truth? That's the first thing you got to ask yourself. H is it helpful or is it harmful? Does this help or does this harm what I'm about to say? I, is it inspirational? Does it build up or does it bulldoze down? N, is this even necessary? If it's not, then muzzle your mouth. And K, is it kind? Is what you're about to say, is it truthful, helpful, inspirational, necessary, and kind? So you think before you speak. You reflect before you react. And what do? During the delay, while you're waiting, you figure out the biblical response. Proverbs 19:11 says this, a wise man restrains his anger and is given patience to what? Figure it out. That's a good verse to memorize. A wise man restrains his anger, and when he does, he's given patience to figure out the right response. And the more you understand, the more understanding you'll have. The more understanding you'll be. The more you understand what's going on, the more understanding you will be. The more you understand your wife or husband's side or your kid's side, the more understanding you will be. It doesn't mean you agree on everything, but it does give you the understanding on the right biblical response. So how do you figure out what's the right biblical response? When I was putting this sermon together, I thought, well, how do we figure that out? Three key questions. Here they are. You need to ask yourself first, why am I angry? This means you focus on the real cause, not the perceived cause, but the real cause of the anger. Second, what do I really want? What do you really want in this? So figure out the godly outcome. And how do I get a godly outcome? You follow Scripture. If you want to have the right godly outcome, you go to Scripture. Blowing up is rarely going to get the outcome you want. Now, here's what I want you to also know. Anger is just simply a symptom of a deeper problem. It's a warning light, like on the dashboard of your car when that check engine light comes on. Something's not right. Something's wrong. So, how do you figure out what the real cause is? What's really got you ticked off? Here are three more questions you can ask. Ask yourself, Am I hurting? When we are wounded, we get angry. And this is particularly true if you're married. A lot of times when your spouse is angry with you, it's just because they're hurt. It's easier to deal with hurt than it is to deal with anger. If I come up to you and say, I'm really ticked off at you, your reaction is going to build up a wall. You're going to get defensive. But if I come to you and I say, look, I know you. I know you would never intentionally do anything to hurt me. But when you said this, you did this, I was hurt by it. That's a whole lot easier to deal with than to say, what you did ticked me off. You've already created a wall. In other words, how sympathetic can you be to the person who hurt you? What is this hurt? Why did it hurt you? Here's the second question. Am I frustrated? Think about it. Anytime we have to wait, we get frustrated. We wait in traffic. We wait in the doctor's office. We wait everywhere we go. We wait to check out of the grocery store. So you have to ask yourself, am I frustrated by something? Number three, am I afraid or am I fearful? We always get angry when we get afraid. We always get angry when we're fearful about something. See, the more insecure a person is, the more anger they're going to have. And the people who are more self-secure, they have less anger. The more confidence you have, the less anger you're going to have. Because you know where you stand with God. So the key is you've got to ask yourself, am I hurting from something? Am I frustrated by something? Am I afraid or fearful about what they said? We all know extremists who go off and never ask these questions. They join militant groups. They take up arms. Just this week, we had a massive gun shooting in a grocery store. People are ticked off today. They feel threatened by something, so they express that anger in violence. So one of the things you have to do is walk through these questions. Did they hurt me? Or did I take this as a hurt? Am I frustrated by what they're doing or not doing, or what they said or didn't say? Am I afraid? Am I fearful? Here's another thing. This is my big problem in our family. Ask Audrey, ask Amy. They'll look at me and go, you're angry. No, I'm not. Oh, you're angry. Amy's smiling. You're in trouble, honey. Okay. You're angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm just meditating. No. I don't express my anger. I'm not open and honest about my anger a lot. We don't want to admit that we're really angry at times because we're so fearful if we do, it may be misinterpreted. Remember, there is no sin in being angry. It's what we do with it that can create the sin. So we ask ourselves, am I hurt? Am I frustrated? Am I fearful about something? Number five. Once you've done the first four, then you release your anger in a biblical and godly way. You release this anger in a biblical and godly way. Like I said, most people, most Christians, either blow up or clam up. They either crawl into a shell or they stink up the room. Some resort to profanity. Some use name calling. Some hold a grudge. Some people go out and gossip about what's going on. All of these are sinful. They're all wrong. Look at Ephesians 4:26. When you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. And do not stay angry all day. Does that verse indicate there's a way to be angry, not sin? Yes, it does. The Bible says, when you become angry. It doesn't say, don't become angry. So there are appropriate ways to express anger and inappropriate ways. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. There are good ways and there are bad ways. Let me give you three wrong ways to deal with your anger. Number one, don't suppress your anger. Don't keep storing it up, because when you suppress it, you're really denying that you're angry. You keep pushing it down, pushing it down, pushing it down, and eventually you're going to be like that Coke bottle somebody takes and shakes and shakes and shakes and shakes and shakes and shakes and finally opens, and you're going to spew. You will eventually blow. So don't suppress your anger. Think of it this way. If you swallow your anger, your stomach is going to keep score. If you swallow your anger, your stomach is going to keep score. You're going to get headaches. Some part of your body is going to ache. If you don't talk it out, you're going to take it out on somebody else. Here's the second way. Don't repress your anger. Don't repress your anger. If you do, what that is, you're just denying it. So don't suppress it and don't repress your anger. Don't say, I'm not angry. Don't say everything is fine. I mean, if your husband is an alcoholic and he beats you and you're sharing this, don't say, well, everything's good at home. It's not. Or somebody's going out spending more money than you can make in the household. You don't say it's all good. That's called denial. And when you repress your anger, it freezes. It eventually becomes frozen. And that has a word for it. It's called depression. We're learning a lot about depression today. Psychiatrists and psychologists have already learned that much of depression today is due to one of these three: suppression, repression, and denial of anger. You just keep pushing it down. You keep pushing it down. You keep pushing it down. There are times I've been with couples who are married and counseling, and one of them will say, I'm just so depressed. I want to go, no, you're angry. You're just angry at your spouse. Because you keep putting it down, keep denying it, it turns into depression. And frozen anger is called depression. And when you deny you're angry, here's your next villain. When you deny that you're angry, that's called lying, and lying in itself is a sin. So you need to be honest and quit being dishonest about it. And there's a lot of wonderful, honest examples of anger in the Bible. If you want to know, read the book of Psalms. David expresses his anger to God all the time about all these different issues. He's mad about his enemies. He's mad about what this person did. He just takes it to God every single time. He never denies that he's mad. He just opens up his heart and he writes Psalms. And that's all the Psalms are. They're wonderful poems by David expressing his praise and his frustrations. And if you want to know how to pray when you're angry, read the book of Psalms. Here's the third way. So we don't suppress it. We don't repress it. We don't express it in inappropriate ways. Some of you have got PhDs in expressing it in the wrong way. Some of you are pouters. You got PhDs in pouting. You walk away, that lip comes out 5 feet out in the room, and everybody's got to walk around you and tiptoe around you because you're all ticked off and pouting over there, okay? Some of you use sarcasm. You're great at being sarcastic because you've got the ability to really cut. You have a spiced tongue. Think of it this way. A sharp tongue will cut your own throat. A sharp tongue will cut your own throat. And sarcasm will come back to haunt you. You may feel good, but what you're doing is destroying the relationships of the people closest to you. Some of you are manipulators. You're absolutely great. You don't get mad. You just get even. You know what I'm talking about? You don't get mad. You just get even. Some of you are passive resistance. You walk away and you just stew. You don't share. You just stew. Some of you, you do this. You storm away. If I can't get my way, I'm out of here. It's my way or the highway. I'm telling you, I've been in church my whole life, but I've been a pastor and minister about all my whole life. I've been in multiple churches and leadership meetings and business meetings, and all of a sudden somebody doesn't get their way. They get up and walk out. How immature. It's my way. If I can't have my way, they puff up. I'm out of here. You know my philosophy is bye, bye, bye. What a godly way to express that you're part of a family. If I can't get my way, I'm walking out on this meeting. Oh. You want to wonder why the world questions what we believe is real? Because we don't know how to have a biblical response with our anger. They look at us, and we keep blowing it, and they go, it can't be real. Some people, they don't storm away. They turn to destructive behaviors. They get drunk. They use drugs. They sleep around. They spend money they don't have. They do dumb things. Job 18:4 puts it this way. You're only hurting yourself with your anger. You don't need to blow your stack, because when you do, that's going to cause emotional air pollution. So you don't repress it. You don't suppress it. You don't express it in inappropriate ways. So what do? The Bible says you confess it, meaning you admit it. And that helps you discover the real cause. So when you're upset, say, yeah, I'm upset. And here's why. Or I'm hurting, and here's why. I'm frustrated, and here's why. You admit it. You take responsibility for your anger. And any relationship, the more honest you can be with that person, the easier it is to deal with the cause of your anger. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:4. Keep away from angry, short-tempered men, lest you learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Birds of a feather flock together. Behavior is learned. Anger is contagious. And if you get angry and you have this uncontrolled anger, other people will learn from you, your children, your grandchildren. Anger is extremely contagious. Somebody gets loud, you're going to get loud. We see this happen all the time in families. It happens all the time in families. Dad comes home, he's stressed out, something happened at work he don't like, he yells at his wife, she turns around and yells at the son turns around and yells at his sister, the sister goes out and she yells at the dog turns around and bites the cat, the cat turns in and comes and scratches the little preschooler, and the preschooler rips the head off the doll. It's just this cycle. And what God says, as a family, we must learn how to express our anger in the right way. Because anger is contagious. See that verse up there? Notice one word. I want you to circle, learns. Circle the word learn. Because if you don't learn how to control it, you will learn how to let it loose by the people around you. The Bible says, keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. You got people in your house always blowing their top? This is why you blow your top. You learn it, and it's not right. How do you express your behavior is basically, how you express your anger is basically learned behavior. You've learned to be a pouter or a manipulator or an explorer. You either are a maniac, a mute, or a martyred, one of the three. You've either watched it on TV, you've seen it at home, you've seen it as a kid on playgrounds, you've seen it in your parents, or you've seen it between your siblings. Anger is contagious. It's a learned behavior. And since there are inappropriate ways to express anger, that means there are appropriate ways, godly ways. So you don't have to go through your life using sarcasm. You don't have to go through the rest of your life being a pouter or a maniac or a mute. You can be under control. God says, listen, give it to me and I'll help you. If there's anything I want you to hear today, it's this. You don't have to stay the same. It doesn't matter what home you grew up in. I've shared with you my home. I grew up in a very violent home. I saw anger in its worst form. Worst form. And I chose, I will never, ever be like that. Now, I went to the other extreme. I just deny my anger. And I'm learning. I'm trying to get better at expressing it. You can be different. You see, even though I've talked to many policemen about these crimes that are going on all over the world. They say we have what we call copycat crimes. People see this crime committed and they just go do it themselves. Think about our media. Think about all the TV shows we watch. They're all about killing and shooting and maiming. All the police shows, all these things. It's all about violence, all about anger, about people losing it, people going postal. And Hollywood's response is, just use a gun, blow somebody away, flip them off. Use profanity, tell them off, sabotage their career. That's Hollywood's response. But I want to give you three books. They're on your notes that you can use. The first one's called Uprooting Anger, a biblical help for a common problem. And if you want to learn how to deal with your anger, that's a great book. Here's another one, Anger. Notice this, anger, the mind. It all starts in the mind. Taming a powerful emotion. And the third book is a good one as well, The Language of Love. It talks about how to get your point across without being cross. Remember what I said in the very first point? You've got to learn. You promise to God, you covenant God. I'm going to learn how to deal with my anger. How do you do that? You start learning. You read books. You get a plan in place so that when you get ticked off, something happens, you already know how you're going to respond. And you do. You can get any one of these books and they'll help you. Here's the sixth thing. Return good for evil. Don't let people control your reaction. You take control of it. So you return good for evil. I mean, the most natural thing when somebody hurts you or does something against you and makes you mad is to fire back at them. The Bible tells us not to do that. God says, return good for evil. Booker T. Washington once said, I will never let another man control my life by making me hate him. When you say, you made me mad, no, they didn't. You chose to be mad. Anger is a personal choice. The Bible says the way you show you're in control of a situation is simply by returning good for evil. Oh, it's easy to retaliate. It's easy to use sarcasm. It's easy to yell and scream and call people names and use profanity. That's the easy thing. Anybody can do that. But the godly thing is to return good for evil. Paul writes in Romans 12, never pay back evil for evil with more evil. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Conquer evil, how? By what? Doing good. So we return evil with good. God says you got one of two choices. You can either be like the world and respond to evil with evil. When somebody hurts you, frustrates you, ticks you off, you can respond in the same way. You can hurt them. You can tell them off. You can use name calling. Or you can be different. You can return evil with good. Paul writes in Romans 12 this. God says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. And when people do me bad, you know what I do? I just say, God, they're in your hands. You deal with them. You know better how to settle the score. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen God allow things in people's lives I never thought they would ever encounter because of it. Years and years and years ago, I was asked to come on staff of a church. And the chairman of the deacons, in the discussion, because they did the hiring, said this to the deacons, if he ever comes on staff of this church, it'll be over my dead body. And I remember one of the men said, well, what if it's God's will for Kelly to come on staff at this church? He said, you read my lips, it will be over my dead body. 1 year later, I buried that man. So you need to be careful how you use your anger, because God will hold you accountable. We answered to him. And he says, when somebody does you wrong, you respond good with evil. You don't take matters in your own hands. You respond to the bad things with good things. Because God has far more resources to know exactly how to settle the score. And finally, number 7. Request God's help sincerely, earnestly, and prayerfully. Number 1, you make the covenant. Then you go through the rest of the steps. And number 7, then you ask God to help you with this. God is more than willing to help you with your anger if you'll just ask him. So you ask God for help. David writes in Psalm 141:3, Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. How does God help us manage our anger and our tongue? He goes right to the source. He gets to the root of the problem. And what's the root of the problem? Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:34, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Jesus says the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. That's Jesus' point. It's not my mouth that gets me into trouble. It's my heart that gets me into trouble. Jesus is saying whatever in your heart spiritually is what's going to come out of your mouth. What's ever inside of you, if it's anger, that's what's going to come out. When the world or someone puts its squeeze on you like toothpaste and they squeeze you out and that comes out, what's ever in you, in your heart, is going to come out of your mouth. So the issue is an issue of the heart. I've had people say to me, I don't know what came over me. I'm not that kind of person. I don't usually say those kind of things. That's what's in your heart. What's ever in the heart comes out of the mouth. It wouldn't be coming out of your mouth if it wasn't in your heart. That's the point Jesus is making. So think of it this way. You can't clean up the well by simply painting the pump. If the water in the well is contaminated, painting the pump ain't going to make it uncontaminated. So the source is not your mouth. The source of our problems is our heart. So we got to deal with the heart. Our mouths just portray what we are really like. That's all it is. What comes out of your mouth is only expressing what's really in your heart. Jesus said, whatever in your mind, whatever you're thinking about in your heart, will come ultimately out of your mouth. Demonstrating if I have a harsh tongue, that means I have an angry heart. If I have a boastful mouth, I have an insecure heart. If I'm always being critical about people and things, I have a bitter heart. If I'm being judgmental about what's going on or judgmental about somebody's life, that just demonstrates I have a guilty heart. If I'm being foul-mouthed and using profanity, using foul language, that just shows what's in my heart. My heart is foul-mouthed. It's full of profanity. It's full of ungodly things. What's ever here comes out of here. On the other hand, if you have a happy heart, you'll have gentle words. If you have a loving heart, you'll have kind words. Whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. What you say reveals to everyone what you are really like and what you really think in your heart. And so when God changes us, he doesn't just paint the pump. He puts in a new pump. He gives us a new heart. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says this, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. David writes this in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. God specializes in heart transplants. You can read all the self-help books you want. They'll never help you. Oh, they can give you some advice on some things. But you really want to change? You need to go to the Word of God and let him change your heart. And the Scripture, it has a word for that. It's called being born again. That's what Scripture calls it. It's just called being born again. That's all 2 Corinthians and Psalms 51 is talking about. It's about being have this new heart in you. God loves to give you a new attitude. He loves to give you a new heart. God loves to change your mind. When Jesus deals with your anger, he doesn't just paint the pump. He goes to the root of the problem. He says, you're angry because you're insecure. You're angry because you're hurt. You're angry because you're frustrated. And he will give you his confidence, his power on how to change. He will give you your peace when everything else around you is breaking loose. God says, trust me on this. Just trust me. Let me change your heart. And how did he do that? You see, you can't have self-control on your own. You've already tried, and that's why you failed. But there is a way. It's found in the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control comes from the Holy Spirit. So I want you to circle this phrase, the Holy Spirit produces, then self-control. You want self-control? You got to be empowered under the Holy Spirit. You want self-control over your anger, over your mouth? You want a new heart? You want to be a different person? Let the Holy Spirit control you, and you will. Think about it. Baby's crying. You just let the baby cry? No, you go over and you pick that baby up. No matter what the baby's crying for, you just keep patting that baby, and eventually it settles down. It knows it's in the loving arms of a parent. Same way. You put yourself in the loving arms of your Heavenly Father, he will calm you down, and he will give you that self-control. He will give it to you in ways you never thought was possible. So also, what I'm asking all of us to do today is all of us get mad. All of us have anger. And today, you might have it, but you might blow up before you get out of this parking lot. Here's what I'm asking us to do. Let's do it God's way. Let's show the world we are different. We don't just come here at 10:15 on Sunday to sing music and fill in blanks. We come here on Sunday morning to get a new heart from God. And when we do that, he helps us with our anger. Let's pray. Father God, I give